This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, look who's back. Here he is. Tubbsy did an excellent job. Bravo, Tubbsy. But glad to have you back, Dave Harrigan.
Thank you, Chad.
Dave will share a number of stories with us when we get to overrated, underrated, properly rated. But by then, we all might be broke.
I already am.
Yeah, I mean, it's over. Stock market, boom, instantly is down 1,100 points. We've rallied, quote, unquote. It's only down 950 points. Good job, Dow, as our guy John Williams used to say. Not good job. So let's bring in the economic guru of this show into the conversation right from the start. He is Brian Belsky, chief investment strategist of BMO Capital Markets, one of us from Wilmer. Okay, let me start with this broad-based question. What the hell is going on?
That's a great way to start. Yeah, I think when we were in studio here about, I don't know, a week or 10 days ago, we talked about the market and investors and the economy transitioning from good news is bad news and bad news is good news. Well, bad news is bad news. And the market reacted accordingly on Friday with respect to some of the employment numbers. And then over the weekend, this is pretty classic stuff. Unfortunately, you know, society is like the market and market is like society. We see a bullet point and we react, and it's still kind of fire aim ready with respect to how we're thinking. So what does that mean? So over the weekend or Friday, we had a bad day, and then that exacerbated over the weekend with Japan doing what it did and Asian markets reacting to the bad employment number that we got on Friday. And why are people reacting to the bad employment report on Friday? It means that most people think that the Fed now is too late and that they should have been cutting before. They actually should have cut in July. Many people are talking about that. And we've reared an entire generation of investors, Chad, that only believe that they should buy stocks because interest rates go down. And so now today, the market was down at one point 1,000 points. It's come back a little bit. Now it's back down again. To down 900 or something like that on the Dow. But we had a pretty good, decent economic report in terms of the services part of the economy, and the bond market reacted and the stock market reacted accordingly. But this is all because the market needed a little humility. Stocks went up way too far too fast. Everybody was kind of chasing the same thing. When everyone's doing the same thing, that really increases the risk of having these types of things. So to have an August sell-off is very, very normal. We've just kind of forgotten about this because stocks have been so linear lately.
All right, this is you. This is standard you. Steady as it goes. Take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Namaste. Whereas I watch for a couple hours clicking networks, and there are a lot of people saying, it's a recession. It is going to happen. And they were even more forcefully blaming the Fed. So my question is, I want you to expand. In your opinion, is the Fed late to this, and should they react? And if they don't, are we staring at a recession, or do you think people are trying to get on TV, and the way you get on TV is you're hyperbolic, you're over the top, you're going to grab the audience, and those are the folks they want on the show?
I think it's the latter. TV's become, especially in financial news, has become headline grabbing, and the more bombastic, the better. And I think that really started in the great financial crisis, 2000, 2008, and was then exacerbated and really defined what's happening in COVID, people coming out and saying these unbelievable type of things. And if you remember, there was a hedge fund guy, I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to give him any credit, the Thursday before the market shut down and the world shut down, said that the United States was heading into hell. And these types of silly things that you need to kind of take a step back and act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. You got to walk humble here because markets go up and down, and you should not be jumping up and down, thumping your chest if you're right or wrong. What we find really interesting, and I said this actually live on television today, I said the more people that come on your network today, I said, that are bearish and talk about a recession, the more bullish I get, because it's reactive, it's fear-mongering, it's headline-grabbing. The bottom line is this. We in the United States have the best companies in the world, full stop, period. And so you talk about Japan rolling over. Well, of course Japan's rolling over because everybody chased the Japan market after it went up dramatically in 2023. And Japan was reinflating after nearly 40 years of deflation. Of course asset levels are going to go up there. And people have become so attuned to chasing performance, Chad. Nobody was buying the market 2 years ago and everybody was worried. We were closer to a recession 2 years ago than we are today. We're still spending money. And remember, too, why is August so volatile? August is volatile because people are on vacation. People forget. 1997 negative, 98 negative, 99 negative, 2000 negative, 2001 negative. For the months of August, we're all negative those months. We can't even remember 2 years ago. So why am I quoting the 90s? Well, I think the 90s is where we're at here, late 90s type of stock market, where we're transitioning from being concentrated in four, five, six big stocks. Back in the mid-90s, people completely forgotten this. It was Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Gillette, Procter & Gamble that are trading at 50, 60 times earnings. And Mr. Greenspan's irrational exuberant speech in 1997, 1998 was actually about those stocks. It wasn't about tech stocks. So history repeats itself. We're seeing this again. And this is very normal, and the market needs to clean up a little bit of froth. We have not changed our bullish forecast. In fact, we think stocks are at brand new price highs by year end. We just need to kind of wash this out a little bit and let the Fed do its job.
So I'm watching the Olympics while I'm listening to you two and Dave Harrigan turn around. They're showing the steeplechase. What kind of goofy event is this? Where all of a sudden we're just running, and then we've got a hurdle, and we just run, and then we keep going. What do you? I think this is an event we need to get rid of. Steeplechase. I mean, was this invented like you're running away from your parents or you're running away from someone and you have to simulate running over a fence? Belsky, where do you stand on the steeplechase?
I'm a seller of the steeplechase. You think about this is all.
Now you're going through the water, too. I mean, where's
this random puddle?
It's just a random water. I mean, what was the water doing here?
Everyone's ripping like the past in terms of steeplechase was a rich person sport from Europe that was brought to America.
Let's
when we
it.
All came over from Europe. And so why are we still doing that? It just doesn't, that to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
Harrigan, this is a weird event.
It's weird.
It is weird. And I like that we're getting a little steeplechase history lesson from Belsky.
Yeah, I mean, we're showing the diversity. Okay, hang on, Belsky. I want to ask this question when we come back. It's Monday. We're melting, but Belsky is saying to you right now, let's all say it together, namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Now, Larry David would not say it. He would not say namaste in one of the Great Curve episodes of all time. I'm going to ask Belsky this when we come back. By tomorrow, by Wednesday, by Thursday, are we in a better position? Or are we still slipping a little bit before Belsky thinks everything will stabilize? Brian Belsky, noted steeplechase historian and chief investment strategist for BMO Capital Markets. It's a silly event. What are the other really ridiculous events when you watch them, Harrigan, and they just don't make any sense?
I might start getting into this one, actually.
You might start getting
looking
into
good.
The steeplechase.
Mr. Ethiopia is just running away.
How
with
are we as steeplechasians? Are we okay, America?
I don't see any USAs up front.
Doesn't look like it. Looks like we failed. You know what? I'm proud that we failed in the steeplechase.
You don't like chasing steeples?
No, steeples. Overrated. Hit the button.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back with part economic guru, part steeplechase historian. So, Dave, describe the drama we had with the steeplechase as we're resuming our conversation with Belsky. We had a We had a guy who was trying to cheat.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, we had Mr. Ethiopia was leading the race. Then he was passed by some eight-footer from I can't remember what country. And meanwhile, they're trying to get over the one hurdle with the puddle in the back. And Mr. Kenya missed the hurdle. He had to go back and double back and go over it again.
Yeah. Now, I think this should be another part of the steeplechase, Belsky. If you can cheat and get away with it, like if you somehow can go around the steeple and no one notices it, bravo to you.
Bravo.
I mean, and Harrigan, I'm still not convinced that he wasn't trying to do that.
It's very possible. Maybe you just draw a number out of a hat. You know, one guy, he gets to skip a steeple at some point.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
How about everybody gets to skip one steeple? So it's like a staggered race.
Pick your steeple.
And we the fans don't know which steeple they get to skip.
Do you have an assigned steeple or do you get to pick as you're going?
I think the favorites get to draw and then we don't know. And okay. And Belsky, I think you'd like to skip the last steeple, right?
I think you would. How about this? What if you do all the steeples and then you're able to take time off if you hit all the steeples?
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that.
Well, that's if you had a big lead. So was that – we having trials? I'm confused because it's live right now. Because now we've got another steeple race.
It's probably preliminary. Yeah,
yeah, something
setting
like
a big final.
Okay, so by the time we get to tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, do you believe – we are going to have just a normal, typical day on the market, or is this instability going to last for a few days?
I don't think this type of volatility can last a long time. And if you take a look at how markets opened up with this kind of exhaustive volatility rush to begin the day, typically and historically, you see that begin to ease, and that's exactly what's happening today, even though the price of the market's kind of rolled over here. A little bit again, the likelihood of the majority of the downside happening Friday and today is very likely. Doesn't mean that we're going to go straight up from here. It just means we're going to kind of bounce around. And remember, too, a lot of people are on vacation. So a lot of people are not probably putting capital to work. Typically and historically, the first week after Labor Day is a week where you see bigger moves to the upside in markets because people are back to work and things like that. So August here could be bumpy. And two, Mr. Powell from the Fed is talking at Jackson Hole later this month, and he's going to talk about his dual mandate. The dual mandate of the Fed is inflation and unemployment. Think about perspective, Chad. I mean, unemployment's still below 5%. That means 95% of the people in the United States, over 95% of the people in the United States are employed. The whole reason why the unemployment rate ticked up a couple of points last month is because more people are actually participating in
right.
the labor force.
That's what I was just going to ask, you know. These numbers on employment, unemployment, sometimes can be really odd numbers in the sense of if more people are participating, they go up, but we want more people to participate.
We do want more people to participate. And we do want people to be employed from a longer-term perspective as well in terms of keeping their jobs for a while. So I think coming back to the workforce is actually a good thing, number one. Number two, in terms of the market, too, remember, people only buy stocks when they're up, and they usually sell stocks when they're down. And so people become freaked out when markets and prices go down. That's exactly when they should be doing the opposite. Think of it as buying like real estate or buying a pair. You buy clothes. I mean, stocks are on sale and Christmas came a little bit early today and maybe it's a few months before, but typically and historically you always want to buy when times are the darkest or when there's quote unquote blood in the streets.
Can I get back to this idea that some have suggested that the Fed should have an emergency meeting right now, today, and cut rates?
I think that'd be bad.
Okay,
I think
why?
That would be bad because it would lose the markets would show even less confidence in the Fed. You asked me earlier if you know the Fed is wrong. The Fed traditionally is always late, and the Fed is late just from the mathematics perspective because the data that they're looking at has already happened. where they're not, they're forecasting, they have to wait to see things confirmed by their data. By the time it's confirmed, that's when they act, and that's just the way they work. So the Fed is traditionally late. By them coming out and saying, oh my gosh, I got to do a 50 basis point cut, that would actually rattle markets more. And then you're going to hear this mantra and this narrative out there from the narcissistic bears. They'll be saying, well, what does the Fed know that we don't know? And then people react even more to that. So that would be bad.
Listen, this guy's Harrigan. Don't ever doubt Belsky. Steeplechase a story, and now he's doing voices for us.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and can I update the steeplechase situation, too? From a texter, you realize the kid from Minnetonka is running the steeplechase event, ran at the U of M. Therefore, you're denigrating one of us. So we need to find out who is running in the steeplechase from the U of M. We need to track this down. Okay, Buffett took out how much money from the stock market? And how much is that playing with people freaking out and worried something really bad is about to take place?
I think they're using it as a data point. He sold 50% of his Apple. But he's owned Apple for 25 years. And so it could be a concentration perspective in terms of the position got so big. Warren Buffett, who I've met a couple times, an amazing man. But just to be clear, and just to throw out all the math, he's been underperforming the last few years because he hasn't kind of
watch yourself market. Watch yourself. Going after Warren Buffett.
It's very well known. I mean, listen, I am the way that I look and think and feel about investments is very Warren Buffett like. You want to buy when the stocks are down, you want to think stocks for the longer term and the like, but he has actually, because of the kind of market environment we're in, Chad, when stocks are up 20%, 25%, that's not a Warren Buffett type market because he's not a momentum chaser. He's not going to buy the stuff that's already up. He's a longer term investor. This is the man that bought Dairy Queen, for Christ's sake. And so, something about that. I mean, he's Mr. Peanut Buster Bar.
What is your go to at Dairy Queen, by the way?
Oh well, I haven't gotten to the full disclosure. Well, if I'm going to have a Blizzard, I'm going to have.
You don't have a go to at Dairy Queen, Harrigan. This should be just a rapid fire. Everybody, just
easy
answer. What are you hiding from?
I have to keep this the way that it is, man. I got to stay in shape. But if I was going to go to the Dairy Queen, it would be a Reese's Pieces, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard.
That's pretty good. It's not correct. I mean, it's pretty good. Peanut butter, Peanut Buster Parfait is the correct answer.
Well, remember Mr. Misty's? Do they even make Mr. Misty's anymore?
They gave you that headache thing just instantly.
Nobody liked Mr. Misty.
You know,
stop pretending.
What happened with Mrs. Misty? Why
when I worked for the
divorce,
city of Wilmer,
was Doug Emhoff involved in this or something?
When I worked in the city of Wilmer, and in the afternoons we'd have to take our mandatory 15-minute break. It's back in the early 80s, and I would go get a cherry raspberry Mountain Dew Mr. Misty.
What a terrible order. Harrigan, you're with me.
That's brutal.
Seriously, that's fireable from this show. Have we figured out which one of our guys is the U of M guy?
Matt Wilkinson.
Matt Wilkinson?
Yes, attended Minnetonka High School.
Nice. See, it all came together, along with this terrible Dairy Queen order. Mm. Ooh, gross.
The segment was going so well.
It was going so well, you know, seriously. All right, Belsky, love you. We'll let you go. Great insight, as always.
Thanks, man.
It is 30 past 12. We have a bunch of guests today. We've got a lot of good stuff. Tony Adams was a great police officer in the city of Minneapolis for a long, long time. Tony's been a friend of mine for decades. Tony now is in charge of security for the Timberwolves and Lynx. But I read the story yesterday, and we've discussed this before with guests because it's coming out hot and heavy again. What is Minneapolis going to do with ShotSpotter? What does Tony think about it? Other police items for Tony, and let's just go with it, Harrigan. We've stumbled into it. What is your go-to order at Dairy Queen? You go there, and you're not going to experiment. You're not going to dabble. You're not going to try something different. You're going with what you can count on.
Tried and true.
Tried and true. What is great? For me, it is the parfait.
Parfait.
It is, but I want it made properly. Let's not forget that about 2 years ago, I shared this story with you. In the drive-thru, my parfait was a complete melting mess. Like, as soon as I took the cover off, it was melting on the seats.
Do we overheat the fudge?
I don't. It wasn't professionalism.
Mm. Hate to see that.
I went back. I walked over there. Should I have driven back in the line? No. I walked over there, went to the front, and said, make this again. Was that fair?
Did you get a good reaction from the young man or a woman behind the
camera? Apologized. Wow. Apologized and made a much better parfait.
My dear sir.
Parfait.
Please forgive me.
I mean, it would have just melted all over me and the car. What should I have done?
You could have drank it.
No. It's not a Mr. Misty.
Well, not many things are stoop to that level as the Mr. Misty.
Belsky. I mean, would you have to suspend him for 2 weeks?
I think so.
What is your go-to at Dairy Queen?
It's a blizzard.
It's a blizzard?
Yeah, if I had
to. Now, Reese's Pieces one is a good one.
No, the pieces don't do it for me. I would go probably Oreo if I had to just.
Which one of the 5,000 Oreo flavors would you go with?
Straight Oreo.
Straight Oreo.
And don't give me those Oreo Thins.
Who Carter.
Is Carter. Carter. Oreo Thins.
Carter's saying by far the best Oreos are the Oreo Thins.
Get out.
I think that caused you to take the week off.
Yeah, let's not have him on tomorrow.
He has been suspended from Ask Ed of Anything tomorrow because of that. What is your go-to Dairy Queen order? What's Tony Adams' go-to Dairy Queen order? And then some serious Minneapolis police talk with my friend Tony in moments on CC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.